They bring a unique challenge previous to Derrick Henry even arriving, and now I thought they made a heck of a strategic move of going to get Derrick Henry. And I mean, that combination along with what they already had in Andrews and the tight end likely, and now with their wide receivers as well, Flowers in particular, I think they're the number one ranked offense in the NFL yards wise. So they're really good, and we'll have a challenge in front of us on Sunday night.
It took everything for me to not try to sing this right now.
Yeah.
But that was Sean McDermott talking about the Ravens offense. Derrick Henry, of course, a part of it. Bills, Ravens, that game, 8 o'clock, 8:20 kickoff, right?
Typically
for those sorts of things. We have
pickoff.
Pregame starting at 3 o'clock here on WGR. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. How my voice heals up from here. I'm expected to be joining Nate.
Okay.
For Bills game day. So that's the hope.
That'll be fun.
That's the hope here. But
I do. Can I make a quick comment on that song? It is Bills related. It rekindled 2 years ago against the Los Angeles Rams. I remember this vividly. One of the games I wasn't working here that season. Josh Allen, it's when they marched down the field and just took down the Super Bowl champions, right?
Yes.
Like, killed them. And the first commercial break of the game, that song starts playing, and it's Tirico and Collinsworth,
yep,
all excited as Josh Allen's leaping into the arms of Deion Dawkins, I think it is. And I'm like, this is just a vibe. Like, whenever I hear that song, I just think of that. That's the Bills related, I guess. Weird thing that's just stuck in my brain when I hear that song. I just think of smiling Josh Allen.
Yeah.
So, and then, of course,
the vibes were there
on
Monday
season?
Night.
Yeah.
This past Monday night because of Mr. Brightside.
Mm-hmm. In the stadium, yeah.
In the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
Kincaid gets it started with everyone. Mac Hollins, who absolutely should have been the betting favorite to whip out the air guitar.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Mac Hollins with the air guitar.
I would have thought a real guitar at some point, honestly, with that guy. You never know what's going on. Did you see, he did an interview on some podcast. Where would you not go barefoot? He drew the line at the airport only because they've given him a problem with it before, not because it's like him drawing the line.
Yeah.
He would go barefoot in the subway in New York City.
That's bold.
He said no bathrooms, though. I'm like, isn't the subway essentially like...
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's comparable
That's just as dangerous of territory.
I think he also said the hospital, he has to wear shoes.
They put scrubs on him. He doesn't wear shoes. They put those little booties on him.
The little booties on him. Yeah. The no-stick socks, maybe.
Yeah, but he said for any charity event or anything like that, he's going no shoes.
Yep.
No socks.
That's awesome.
And then he puts M&Ms in his water for his post-game celebratory drink. Peanut M&Ms, too. They were the honkers. They weren't just M&Ms.
They were the honkers.
They were not just little M&Ms. They were the peanut M&Ms.
But to get it back on point, though, here, the Bills are flying high right now.
They are.
Rocking out with the crowd. And now 3 straight games on the road.
Against...
Way to kill the fun, NFL!
Yeah.
Against, 3 straight on the road? What the hell?
Against some teams that actually have some standing, not the Jaguars.
And it's not even about the competition at that point. Vibes are at an all-time high, and you take them away from us for 3 weeks?
Yeah, you send them bye-bye.
Big rude.
Mm-hmm.
Super rude.
That is. What I would give for a primetime home game within the next 3 weeks. Especially with who you're playing.
Even just a regular home game.
Yeah.
Any one of those games, put them at home. Break it up.
Why couldn't Diggs come back to the Bills Mafia? Why does that have to be in Texas?
I mean, I'm okay with that, honestly.
You think?
Yes.
Do you think?
Because I think he would get treated a little unfairly.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, he ended up willing his way out, but I do think...
No snowballs to worry about, though.
No snowballs to worry about, but that also probably makes it worse.
Yeah.
Because then people throw things that aren't snowballs.
Mm, like they used to do at Patriots games.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
last thing we need.
Objects that...
Yeah, last thing we need.
I do have one
because
question.
Because I think of the Jack Eichel game.
Yes, the booze.
When it comes to Diggs.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that, ready? You shouldn't even compare it because Diggs made a far bigger contribution to the Bills
than Jack Eichel ever
than
did,
Eichel
the
did for the Sabres.
And he left on, I mean.
Both left on bad terms.
Both left on bad terms, but I feel
very
like Eichel celebrated. Like he threw the picture up on social media right away, Vegas baby.
Yeah.
And it's him already photoshopped into a Golden Knights jersey. Diggs didn't do that at least. But I mean, do you think that right now is the best revenge arc in the NFL currently? Because like even. I feel like that's the most like raw one. Like, that's the newest is, one. And they play each other early.
Yeah, they play each other early, but I think the big thing here is this. That, first of all, I would say it's a next week topic, but we're not here next week.
No.
But the big thing here is both are doing just fine without the other.
Yeah.
And that's okay. We don't need to parade around the win that Buffalo's 3-0 and their offense is humming just along fine without Stephon Diggs.
You don't need to make your ex-girlfriend feel bad to feel good.
Exactly.
Like,
and Diggs doesn't have to worry about that either. He's getting a large target share, and everyone's like, they've got to deal with Nico. He's got to deal with Nico Collins. He's got to deal with Tank Dell. Tank Dell's out, by the way, for the next game on Sunday for Houston.
Yeah.
But like, Diggs is still getting his too. It's fine. Everyone's in a better place. The Bills are in a better place.
Everyone's happy.
Diggs is in a better place. Everyone's cool. Everyone's chilling. And then it's not going to matter if Diggs get his next week. It's going to be who wins the game. Because that's what's going to matter to both the team and Diggs. Who wins the game? Diggs would probably trade one catch for 14 yards if it meant a Texans win. He's not going to care about that. Because that's, at the end of the day, what everyone's out there doing is trying to win. As for Baltimore, the Bills have had a really good track record of reeling in Lamar Jackson. It's tough to do. You have to have a disciplined defense. You have to try to complicate things as much as possible. You have to be very, very disciplined, setting your edge, which was something that the Bills had a problem with Kyler Murray in week one.
Yes, but they remedied it in the second half.
They did change it up in the second half, and they were able to correct it. Setting the edge became how they were able to fix that game against Arizona.
Because James Conner and Kyler Murray were running outside on you the entire first half.
And the minute that they were able to better set the edge, both when it came to scrambles or the run game of Arizona, when they were setting the edge, they stymied the Arizona offense. And that's how Buffalo was able to come back. Meanwhile, Baltimore seems to be allergic to holding on to double-digit leads without problems. They just can't do it. So if the Ravens get out early on the Bills, I'm not stressing, because the Ravens do not know how to hold it very well in recent years. So what happens if the Bills are at 4-0 here, though? Like, the national talking heads are probably saying, like, oh, the Bills are the best team in the NFL. And for me, it's going to be as simple as this. Nothing changes.
No, nothing here changes.
Nothing changes. You want to know why? Because this is the same old Bills. And I don't mean to try to kill the vibe on it a little bit. I do want to keep it realistic in a sense of, we should be used to this. And it's a bigger deal because of all the names that left. But at the same time, they've already displayed to me that, say they come out of this stretch 5-1, those first six games, they go 5-1 or even better than that. There's two problems I have. Not problems. There's two things that I point out. One, the Bills are consistently good every year. Last year was the quote-unquote down year, and they were still the two seed in the AFC East champions.
It was a wild ride, don't get me wrong.
It got ugly.
Yeah, it was 5-5,
it was
6-6.
It was not enjoyable.
No, but they were there at the
end of
the season.
There at the end of the season.
And they put together a heck of a win streak to get there.
They did. But last year almost seems like the anomaly for this group, where they are very consistently a top team in the league. But now the other thing, and this is the problem, so to say, if Kansas City still has the same dang record or better than the Bills at that six-week stretch, it's kind of a moot point. You're like, oh, hey, the Kansas City Chiefs are facing off against L.A., and the Chargers don't have Joey Bosa, it looks like. Joe Alt is injured. Like, oh, great. And Derwin James is suspended. Like, oh, the Chiefs are facing a good Chargers team, or at least a resurgence Chargers team, at the right time. Yay, good for you. You still end up being the luckiest team in the league.
Yeah, right.
You don't need the help. Stop helping them.
The ref's color should be red and yellow.
I don't like to say it, like, that the refs are, like, favoring more teams than the others.
No,
but right now they are not beating the allegations.
No.
And it's frustrating.
They're honestly helping, like, big time.
But the thing is like, I know it's not supposed to be like that. And I like to think that there is some sort of sanctity within the game. Because how major, because if it was really played on like major markets and things like that, like the Jets would be the best team in the in the NFL.
The Jets wouldn't have one penalty called on them at all.
The Jets wouldn't have the longest playoff drought in major sports.
It's tied with the Sabres.
It's longer.
Oh. Well, how long are they?
14.
Oh, got them by a year.
Got them by a year.
So, I thought they were both 13. Okay.
So,
the
thing is, the refs are not helping.
Mm-hmm.
They're not beating the allegations right now. And I usually don't care about that. I always find ways that are not having to do with officiating that you could have done better to win that football game. But they're not beating the allegations.
No.
No way. Not with how it's gone so far.
There's not one thing that tells me they are.
But ready? The problem is, the other team that is just as good in the regular season, if not better, over these past 5 years, has been Kansas City. So until you can actually claim the number one seed from them.
Until they drop a game.
Until they drop something, which they tend to do.
Yeah, they'll drop a game, but also you have to make sure.
You take care of business.
You need to take care of business to keep that narrative in your favor.
Yes.
Right now, you're seeing it strictly with the quarterbacks, right? Allen versus Mahomes. Allen's kind of got the MVP limelight to himself at this point in the season.
And it is early.
It is very early.
But Mahomes already has four interceptions.
Yes. And Allen has none.
Josh Allen has one turnover.
Yeah, and it's from a fumble on his blind side.
On a strip sack. It was really nice play.
Yeah.
But I do think, though, that at the beginning of that game in Arizona, like, he was not in a rhythm.
Mm-mm.
And he, like, I thought he held on to that one too long.
Right. Well, that's what comes down to the preseason. Like, how long should he play? He really didn't play with the starter, so blah, blah, blah. Whatever.
He barely played at all. He played one drive.
So
maybe, not even a whole drive.
Maybe that shows you he might need more than just a quarter, if you will, in a drive and a half to really get his rhythm down before the season. But that's neither here nor there.
Circumstances were not in their favor at that point.
No, because the field was terrible in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, because, oh my God.
Yeah, and then he didn't play in the last game. So it's just.
They need to replace that field so bad.
Mm-hmm. At Acrisure.
Oh my God. It might as well be made of ketchup.
They should just make it. When it was Heinz Field, why wasn't it red? How cool would that have been? College fields change their field color all the time. A big Heinz logo in the middle, under the Steelers logo.
Or just on the field, like one of those corner logos.
Yes.
Like 25.
Yeah. Make that green and the field red. Just change it up completely.
Yeah.
If I was ever behind the game day operations of an NFL team, it would just be chaos. Like the Bills stadium.
Field would just be decorated.
The field would be blue, zone's red.
The field would look like a European hockey jersey.
Yes, exactly. Yes. Best way to put it right there.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Sponsors everywhere, just all over the field.
Down your sleeves, baby.
Different colors. Bills on top of the Bills logo. Every letter is a sponsorship. Be crazy. We'd be raking it in.
I would hate every bit of those uniforms then, man. I would hate every bit of it.
Well, I own one that I despise, the Toronto series patch. So maybe, you know, I feel like the one jersey you have on me is the Bills hockey jerseys from the USA, Team USA.
Yes, my infamous purchase of an Austin Matthews Bills Team USA jersey.
Yeah.
At that game, it was so popular, though.
I know.
It was popular amongst Bills fans.
Middle
it was popular amongst Americans.
Yeah.
And it was popular amongst the Canadian fans that were there. Why? Oh, it's Austin Matthews. All right, sick.
Yeah.
Like, I made so many friends at that game.
Yeah.
And then I came here, and Howard chased me down the hallway.
We were talking.
Totally worth it.
We were talking about
that before the show. I never was more afraid in my life than Howard chasing after me.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know he had it in him.
Oh my God, that's too funny. Too funny.
So
but I pulled that way off.
Yes,
but,
you did.
No, I truthfully think.
So at the end of the day, though, a win against the Ravens more or less means the status quo. And the status quo is perfectly fine. Because what's the status quo for the Bills in the regular season? Top tier team in the AFC, typically a top three finish.
Mm-hmm. And then
getting your home playoff game in the wild card and divisional round. And then we go from there.
One year you made the AFC Championship. The rest you've only made it to the divisional.
And that is where the narrative has to change. It's not the regular season. It is entirely January.
You need to beat the Chiefs in the playoffs. Like that's simply in the or the Bengals.
It's the divisional round.
Yeah.
Because you clear the wild card round no problem all the time.
And you play your best games of the season most of the time in the wild card round.
Yes.
There was a perfect game in the wild card round. That was the year.
And offensively, there was a near perfect game that followed it.
Yes.
only to be let down by the rest of the decisions
by
that were made.
Prevent defense.
By decisions, really.
Yeah.
Coaching decisions ultimately undid you there. And execution, too. You do have to play defense. And when the Chiefs got the football in overtime, you got to play defense. You still got to do it. You still got to stop them, or at least stymie them to a field goal.
Right.
Because what happened the next week? Chiefs won the Chiefs won the toss in overtime. What happened? They got picked.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, same old Bills is not a bad thing here.
It's the truth.
Because it's a great thing in the regular season.
Uh-huh. It's great to be a Bills fan in the regular season.
It is.
They're pounding on terrible teams.
Consistently good.
Yes. And they're good against the good teams.
And if you beat them, it is because you earned it, because it was a one-score game.
Yeah, and like Sal said, exactly that.
They broke the record for longest amount of games.
They don't get blown out. They blow out or it's a close game. They don't get blown out. And that is, most football teams probably dream of a stat like that.
Yes. It's consistency that is damning.
Mm-hmm. You know what I heard yesterday? I do have to point this out. I was watching First Things First, okay? I do enjoy that program for all things considered, Nick Wright. I don't get as fired up anymore. He did make a point. He said, look at the, he described a team, right? Lost in the Super Bowl, lost in a big game, right? Got blown out by San Francisco. Next year, heartbreak in the divisional, or AFC Championship, excuse me, with the Bengals, right? Gets rid of their best receiver. Everyone's like, oh, they've downgraded, blah, 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 blah. Look at what happened to them the next year. The 2020 to 2022 Kansas City Chiefs sound a lot like the 2022 to 2024 Buffalo Bills, minus the Super Bowl appearance.
Well, that could be at the end of this, hopefully.
Yes, and that hopefully would,
that would be the mirror.
Yeah, that would make it a full reflection of the two teams. And that was a very intriguing point by him, because I didn't even put that together. I forgot about that. But when Tyreek Hill left the Chiefs, the narrative swirled around. Oh, the Chiefs, blah, blah, blah. They don't have a number one receiver. They're the ones who started the, hey, it's a team effort here. We're not going to have a number one guy. We're going to have a bunch of guys who can contribute solid amounts all season.
Right.
And the Bills are winning with that mentality right now and playing better than they have. No offense to Diggs or Davis by any means. They played really well with those guys. But Allen said it. I go up to those guys and I can say, this today might not be your day. But they're fine with that. They know they're part of the system, and that's that.
Yep.
That mentality, I think, is what has allowed the Bills to kind of cruise through the beginning of the season when they hit their stride.
So, I am going to say that I do feel confident in them in this game.
I do too.
Remember how I was very not confident in the Jaguars game, because like that's that Billsy loss to the Jaguars.
Yeah,
we
played that Ed Oliver clip where he said weird 8 times in the same sentence.
Yes.
We felt the same way.
But now the history, recent history with the Bills and Ravens, it has been one-sided in Buffalo's favor.
Mm-hmm.
Does that continue? Because the Bills broke one of these recent trends.
They did.
Jacksonville last week.
Does one go the other way?
Does one go the other way? And that's going to be the question, but also, how well are they able to contain Lamar Jackson, who's been very good to start?
Yes, he gave the Chiefs a real run for their money the first week. He's put things together on the ground through the air. I mean, Mark Andrews is a question mark. I don't know what happened to him on that team.
Like, we can call into question the validity of the second MVP race vote.
Yeah,
with him.
Yeah.
But what you cannot call into question right now is, dude's on fire to start the year.
Yeah, he's a game changer for them.
He has 956 total yards.
Yep.
254 rushing, 702 in passing.
Mm-hmm.
He still gets it.
How we always say, if we have Josh Allen, we're going to be fine. The Ravens have Lamar Jackson, and they're going to be fine. That's how
it's the
same thing.
If the Bills can key in and stop, or at least limit, what Lamar Jackson's able to do.
And Derrick Henry,
that's
too. That's an added attachment for me. I'm nervous about that, because he is single-handedly why the Titans, even gave you a problem.
I don't think Derrick Henry is the issue. I think Lamar Jackson is.
Yeah.
Because the running offense always starts with him anyway.
Mm-hmm. Right. They rush him before they'll throw Derrick Henry in on a quick down and do it. You
exactly.
Know? Yeah. You're right.
He's more dynamic. And yes, Derrick Henry has feasted on the Bills in the past.
Josh Norman.
But
oh.
They even contained him last year.
They did. They completely just have shut him down.
It is different with the Ravens running the football, but we'll see what happens here.
I think it's going to be
a good game.
We'll talk about this more maybe in the next segment. I don't know, but The Ravens' offensive line, too, you're seeing some injuries. Very banged up. This could be a big Von Miller, Greg Russo, Ed Oliver game. Like, it really could be.
Ed Oliver probably more in particular, because starting left guard Andrew Voorhees is doubtful.
Oh.
Center Tyler Lindbaum is questionable. He probably will end up playing.
Mm-hmm.
And
they lost some additions to their secondary, too.
But that is the defensive tackle depth is going to need to show. Mm-hmm. Daquan Jones is going to have a good game. Ed Oliver is going to have a good game. Like, the rotation on the inside is probably going to be the group that is going to have to bully a backup and show up. Also, Von Miller has been looking very good. Greg Rousseau has looked very good.
A.J. Epenesa even has looked very good.
A.J. Epenesa has had his splash plays again.
Yes.
They need to keep it going up front, but they also need to be disciplined. And that was a struggle in the first half of week one.
It was. So if they can learn from that and go on.
If they stay disciplined and the defensive line is able to bully a banged up offensive line,
mm-hmm.
that's big.
Yeah, make Lamar uncomfortable. That's the name of the game. It really
is. Make him uncomfortable, but stay disciplined so that he can't escape and do everything.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to get you? He's going to get you on the ground. I'd expect 80 yards rushing from him.
Yeah.
No problem.
If there's an odd plus 50 rushing yards for him, take it. Like, seriously.
What the Bills do best is a player is going to get his. Can you stop the rest of the bleeding from everywhere else?
Mm-hmm. And they're good at putting pressure on the wound.
That's where they excel, is stopping the cuts from coming from everywhere else.
Yep.
You'll get your big hit from somebody. Typically, it's when the Dolphins play the Bills, for example. Tyreek Hill's the one that you stop from doing everything. Jalen Waddle gets his, typically.
Yeah, this season.
But then
for whatever reason,
they limit everything else. When it's the Kansas City Chiefs, in the regular season, Travis Kelce gets his, no matter what, regular season, playoffs. Travis Kelce gets his. It's that they mitigate the damage from the rest of the receiving core. In the playoffs, Valdes-Scantling and Rice had themselves a game. There's the difference. Can you stop the cuts from coming from somewhere else? That is what the Bills do best. I think Lamar Jackson will have himself his day. It's, can you stop Henry? Can you stop the receivers from really breaking out? You give up 80 yards rushing to Lamar Jackson, but you limit the air attack and you limit Derrick Henry. That's the recipe, I think, is success that the Bills have been able to track and be able to help out with. All right, we'll go around the league coming up next year. Sports Talk Saturday rolls on for another half hour here. You're listening to WGR.
Takes the handoff to Cook. Pressure coming. Fires down the right side, looking for Coleman. He's got it, and he's into the end zone. The rookie with his first touchdown as a pro. It goes 24 yards for the score.
First career touchdown for Keon Coleman. Evan's playing Mr. Brightside.
Yeah.
Smart.
Vibes are here.
Vibes are here.
That was a great touchdown, too.
That was a great touchdown. Nice route by Coleman. Mm-hmm. Nice separation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Lazy route runner.
The Chiefs let the Bills get Xavier Worthy.
I watched Xavier Worthy drop a few last time he played.
Why is this the voice we're using?
I don't know.
I don't like it. Anyway, all right. Before we go around the league, time to get connected to our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia. What's New York's number one Kia dealer? Shop online at northtownkia.com. We got Papa Frank Jones.
Mm.
Chiming in here. Control the line on third downs. You will then contain Jackson and Henry. That's the key to victory. And then in all caps, feel better, Derek!
Feel better.
Why did I try to yell that? Stupid. So dumb.
It's that first fall cold slooping in. I don't even know if that's a word.
This has been tough.
Mm-hmm.
It's been tough. Trying to get better from it. Took me out on Monday. I couldn't do overtime.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we're trying to get through it, though. We fight through it. I don't give a heck that it's my birthday. I don't give a heck that I'm sounding hoarse. We're doing the show, baby.
Yes, sir.
We get it done. We're about business and results and playing the NFL bumper music. Heck.
Oh, God.
He got us. He got us on that one. All right. Ooh, this is a good one. This is a new one. All right. Let's start things off. New Orleans and Atlanta. NFC South matchup. New Orleans kind of crashing down to earth last week. Same with Tampa Bay. And kind of letting the rest of the division kind of catch up to them a little bit here. Atlanta, of course, as I properly predicted, painstaking loss against Kansas City in heartbreaking fashion. Falcons going Falcon. And that's how it go. I like this matchup for both teams here. Kirk Cousins has really kind of stabilized a little bit here. That said, New Orleans has a chance to get a bounce back game, get themselves back on track here after looking like, through 2 weeks, one of the most dominant teams that there was going to be. But maybe it has more to do with the quality competition there than the Saints themselves. Panthers, obviously, the Panthers and the Cowboys have looked very disappointing through the first 3 weeks as well.
Yeah. Yeah, they have. That's for sure.
The Rams against Chicago. This one almost got the treatment, but it didn't. A pair of teams that could be doing better, should be doing better, honestly. Caleb Williams finally starting to look a little bit more comfortable in the NFL. Had himself a nice game against the Colts, but they didn't get the win out of it. So it looks like your prediction might be a little bit dangerous, so to say, here.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully they can get things back on track against the Rams, who are A, very banged up, and B, definitely struggling through the start of the season.
Yeah, they definitely are. I'm hoping for the turnaround for the bet's sake, if you will.
Now we've got a good one here.
Okay.
NFC North football, 3-0 Minnesota against 2-1 Green Bay, who looked like they were doing just fine with Malik Willis under center here. He's holding his own
pretty well
while they wait for Jordan Love to come back.
Yeah.
Green Bay -3 on this one, and I think that this is going to be as even a matchup as I think there is. If Minnesota comes out of this 4-0, the Jets need to be put on trial, and so do the Panthers.
Yeah. Yes, they
do. Because Sam Darnold has looked like the draft prospect that he was all those years ago.
Right. It's serious, though. That's crazy.
And Kevin O'Connell with that quote of organizations fail young quarterbacks more than young quarterbacks fail organizations, it really does carry some weight. It makes a lot of sense. And he was talking more or less about the Bryce Young benching, too. Of course, you see Darnold thriving now after these two teams, and Bryce Young being sat in Carolina, and all these rookies being thrown into the fire right away. It does seem like it is becoming more of the trend of teams are failing these young quarterbacks, throwing them in 0-60. We may be shifting back to the patient development of rookie quarterbacks. Pittsburgh and Indianapolis. How are the Steelers 3-0? They are the biggest Mad Libs team of all time. But I think the answer to it is T.J. Watt.
Mm-hmm.
T.J. Watt is not fair. He is a cheat code. And I don't know how Pittsburgh continues to do what they do. But that said, they may not even have started out 3-0 if Russell Wilson didn't get hurt. Fields is playing very well with the Steelers right now as the starter. And I do think that this is going to be a game of young quarterbacks still trying to find their footing. Anthony Richardson, they do get a win last week, but he's been very inconsistent to start the year. One of the biggest fantasy hype trains kind of coming down, crashing a little bit.
That's tough because I was an Anthony Richardson believer myself. So I thought he was, from his performance last season before he got injured, I thought we were going to be good, but I guess not.
There's still a lot of season, and also he's still going through his first 16 games of being a starter. He hasn't finished that yet.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of learning curve for him. There's a lot to do. Again, preaching patience is going to be big here for a player like Richardson. Denver Broncos and the New York Jets. This is going to be a game that happens.
It's just one of those.
Denver is very bad overall as a team.
Mm-hmm.
They're struggling a lot. They're struggling mightily. And in come the New York Jets, who already beat up a pancake, and they had extra time now to rest up against Denver.
Nate Hackett return.
Great. Can't wait for the Jets to be in this erroneous 3-1. And this is what everyone was worried about with the Jets. They have a pancake schedule.
Yep.
Schedule. They're just going to eat off of the softies here real quick and boost up their record a little bit feloniously.
Yeah, but, Bo Nix could pull something out of where, so we're going to hope.
Hopefully, and that's going to be the tough one there. Philadelphia, Tampa Bay. The Eagles are... I don't know what the Eagles are, man.
I'm out. I'm out on the Eagles hype. I can't listen to any of it. They have not proven to me. I know it's early in the season.
Their coaching is bad.
Yeah, yeah. Last season you saw flashes of Sirianni's coaching going south. And this season it's all been that. It has all been poor coaching. And yeah. I'm just out on the Eagles this season.
Tampa Bay looking to swing back here after dropping last week as well. Carolina against Cincinnati. I mean, this almost got it as well here. But Andy Dalton hosting his old team in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
The Bengals. Allergic.
Yeah.
To starting off strong. If you lose to Carolina to go to 0-4, your season's already done.
Mm-hmm.
There's no excuses. Last year it was Burrow injury, everything like that. The defense has been very leaky for Cincinnati. They need to turn it around. Jacksonville and Houston, this one should be an easy Texans win. The Jags are reeling. They are not in a good spot. And they now have a short week here against Houston. And they got to find a way to bounce back. Division games do go wild sometimes,
mm-hmm.
but Houston's a better team.
They are.
They also are trying to get back out of the L column after last week against Minnesota. Washington against Arizona. Hey, you know what? Good for Jaden Daniels getting himself going.
A good win. Yeah.
He got himself going last week. And now you get a Cardinals team that's tough. They're scrappy. This should be a scrappy game for both teams. One that I think is going to be my favorite to watch at the 405 timeline here. I might watch it over Kansas City to L.A.
I might.
New England, San Francisco. Well, the 49ers are
banged up.
You
called that.
I didn't mean to predict it as accurately as I did, but San Francisco's going through it.
Yeah, they're having huge problems there. So.
Huge problems there.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, I shouldn't laugh. Like, it's all injury-based,
yeah.
Really. So, I mean, it's terrible what they're going through.
But now you get a New England team that is not very good. They got beat down a little bit more than a week ago now, and it's just like, yeah, I don't know. But New England's scrappy, but they're just not talented. And San Francisco has the talent. They're going to keep things going here. Oh, Cleveland and Las Vegas. This one's going to be a game that happens, and I don't think a very good one, so to say. This one almost got it as well. I don't think this is going to be a good game. I think that, the Raiders are...
And also Max Crosby's going to be out of this game. And didn't I hear something about Myles Garrett being
Yeah, there's hurt? there's a lot of injuries here, too, but also it's just the quarterback play is going to be bad.
Right.
This is just the Gardner Minshew against Deshaun Watson, who has become a shell of himself. Oh, no.
Is it bad that I trust Gardner Minshew more than I trust Deshaun Watson?
Out in public or on a football field?
On a football field.
Because the answer is yes to both of those. This is going to be a bad game, I think. But then again, Cleveland's defense has been surprisingly not up to the task either. And Las Vegas seems to just not have consistency on defense, no matter who the coach is. Kansas City against the LA Chargers. Chargers are very banged up in this one. Kansas City, of course, getting them at the right time. Joey Bosa, definitely on the injury report. Joe Alt for the LA Chargers as well. Derwin James has been suspended for a game. Very convenient that the Chiefs are on the roster, are on the schedule coming up next on that one there. Yeah, Bosa out. Rashawn Slater out. Those are two big names on there. Justin Herbert is questionable due to an ankle injury. Like, how lucky can the Chiefs get when it comes to the Chargers? And, well, there's more of that. Of course, then later on Sunday night, it's Bills-Baltimore. You'll be able to hear pregame at 3 o'clock here on WGR. And then we get another doubleheader on Monday night. Starting with... Oh, no. Oh, my God. The Tennessee Titans and the Miami Dolphins. A quarterback matchup of Will Levis and Tyler Huntley. Not even Skylar Thompson anymore for Miami, as it's going to be Tyler Huntley playing already the third quarterback for Miami this season in 4 weeks here. Keep that up, because Joe's about to walk in the room here. This is going to be amazing for him to put the headphones on. For this. Oh my God.
Oh, jeez. What are we doing here?
What are we doing?
Oh, yeah. Well,
and Will Levis has been basically, you could put these soundtracks to his highlights and it would make so much sense. Mayo Man lost the script completely. He's a meme quarterback.
Jeez. Yeah, well, stop doing the Mayo commercials. The Dolphins are just without Tua, without it.
And now without Skylar Thompson either, it's like they're going to Tyler Huntley.
They're going to end up like 7-10.
Tickets are as low as $19 on StubHub.
Yeah, they might not even win seven games.
Fair weather Miami fan base.
How long do you think it takes Tua to come back? I don't know any
status. They already put him on IR, so it's at minimum 4 weeks.
Ooh, yeesh. They're going to be sub 500. That's if he comes back and can play up to standard. Jeez. What a nightmare for Miami.
What a track there from Evan there. Mm-hmm. Seattle and Detroit to wrap up your week 4 schedule. This one should be scrappy. I like these two as a matchup. Geno Smith looking solid again. Seattle's looking all right. They're a very cardiac team. Detroit trying to steady up their schedule, steady up their season. Very consistent, though. Unfortunately, they lose to the Buccaneers in week 2, but they are a very steady team. I like their chances here to keep things going against Seattle, who's 3-0, by the way. They're very cardiac when they do it, but they're 3-0. They're a weird 3-0, but they're 3-0. They're a team that gave up 2 safeties in week 1, but they're 3-0.
Yeah. I like Geno Smith. I really do.
But they've also beaten up on the Broncos, the Patriots, and the Dolphins. So how much of a 3-0 is this convincing, or is this a layup of a start to their schedule this year before things start to actually ratchet up and get serious for them? They play the Lions, Giants, 49ers, Falcons, Bills, Rams, 49ers again.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very fascinating team there in Seattle, but amongst the group of undefeated right now. All right, well, we got to get going here. Wrap things up with the next segment as Sports Talk Saturday concludes another edition here. Coming up next, Derek Kramer, Joe Calley, Evans on the board. You have been listening all throughout and always will be on WGR. All right, that'll do it for another edition of Sports Talk Saturday here. Derek Kramer, Joe Calley, Evan DePasquale on the board here. And of course, thank you to all of the guests that we had here today. Everyone internal today. It was a big GR day.
It was, yeah.
We had Howard Simon stick around with us after his show to start things off with us. It was a fun little moment there. It's always good to catch up with Howard. I love that man.
Yeah.
And I couldn't have been happier to learn from someone like him, who is a Hall of Famer, and he's a Hall of Fame kind of person too. So it was funny. He had texted me this morning, so it was also like so offshoot. He goes more or less along the lines of just like, "Hey, if you want me to stick around for a few minutes on the first segment in the next 3 of these shows that we're doing, let me know." And I said, you know, usually the band is usually opening nonsense, everything like that, if you're up for that kind of speed. And he goes, "I live for nonsense." And I'm like, "All right, here we go. We got Howard for the band."
That's perfect.
So thank you to Howard for starting us off here on the right foot today. And then, of course, Brian Koziel, Sal Capaccio joining us here, talking some Sabres, talking some Bills. Got a lot of hockey in there today, which was nice. I feel like it's refreshing. It's a change of pace. You know, we're so Bills heavy here that, you know, it's nice to be able to really focus in on them as the season's about to start. And because, well, it's the last time I'm going to be able to talk about them before the regular season begins.
It is. Because next Saturday,
we're not
scheduled.
Doing things. We're not on. We are not on the air. As a matter of fact, I can confirm it. We are not on the air at all for Sports Talk Saturday because the Sabres start at 9 o'clock. In the morning on Saturday, and then they are done with post-game probably around 2 p.m. Mm-hmm. That's what the schedule says.
I'm so excited to watch the first game.
No,
I
wish I could watch the first game. I'm going to be at work on that Friday afternoon. But it's going to be nice, though, to be able to watch that game on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Take my time.
Yeah, kick back, relax.
Kick back, be able to watch that game.
It'll be nice. And
it'll
also
be very nice.
It's It'll be fun to watch them play against NHL players, not AHLers, and see how they fare against them.
And that's
I'm very excited about that.
So, but we've got Sabres action tonight as well as they take on Columbus. 7 o'clock? 7 o'clock. 6:30 pregame.
Yes.
Brian and Paul will take you on through as the Sabres will be wrapping up their preseason in short time here. But tonight they get an NHL roster in the form of Columbus. So let's see what these prospects are able to bring here before long. In a tough matchup there, because the Sabres have been on the other side of it. NHL teams beating up on AHL and prospect clubs.
Yeah.
Now the shoe's on the other foot. Let's see how they respond.
Yeah.
And it should be fun to see, because they had themselves a really nice night against Ottawa.
They did.
All right.
I'm very excited.
So, for our guests, for Howard Simon, for Sal Capaccio, for Brian Koziel, for my producer, Evan DePasquale, for Joe Kelly, I'm Derek Kramer with a hoarse voice. Hopefully in 2 weeks you will hear me sounding a lot better, because if I'm not sounding better by then, I've got major problems.
Yeah, you might want to get that checked out.
You might be hearing from me tomorrow with Nate Geary on Bills game day, though, as well. I'm going to go like gargle some salt water or something. I don't know. There's got to be tricks to do this.
Yeah, the salt water is normally a good bet. Honey, tea and honey.
Okay.
That's the way to do it, truthfully.
All right, well, I'm going to go find some tea.
Some chamomile.
I'm going to go find some tea, pull an Uncle Iroh here, baby.
Mm-hmm. Don't drink any dairy products. It makes it worse. Milk, chocolate, yogurt, cheese, anything like that. It coats the vocal cords in the wrong way. It makes your voice worse. Don't do it.
And so I maybe shouldn't have had that Twix bar this morning. All right.
Maybe not. Maybe not.
Maybe
just
not.
From here on out.
From here on out. All right. Well.
Clear liquids.
Everyone, have yourselves a great night. Have a great weekend. Bills, Ravens as well. 3:00 pregame starting for that one tomorrow.